I've got something that I'm excited about sharing with you, but just before I do that, I'm going to read something out of Isaiah 55, which has kind of grabbed hold of me a bit this morning. So, you know how on the DVD you get the bonus bit, you get bonus bits on the end of a DVD? Well, this is the bonus bit that you get before the DVD. Okay, it says this: "Is anyone thirsty? Come and drink, even if you have no money. Come take your choice of wine or milk, it's all free. Why spend your money on food that does not give you strength? Why pay for food that does you no good? Listen to me and you will eat what is good. You will enjoy the finest food. Come to me with your ears wide open. Listen and you will find life. I will make an everlasting covenant with you. I will make all the unfailing love. I will give you all the unfailing love I promised to David. See how I used him to display my power among the peoples. I made him a leader among the nations. You will also command nations you do not know, and peoples unknown to you will come running to obey. Because I, the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, have made you glorious. Seek the Lord while you can find him. Call on him now while he is near." Is anyone thirsty? Come and drink, even if you have no money. There's lots of analogies and symbolism in the Bible. I don't know about you this morning, whether you're a guest here, whether you've been here for years. As we've worshipped in God's presence, I hear God saying, if you're thirsty, if you're hungry, come into my presence. Allow me to feed you. Allow me to give you a drink. And not a drink that will mean that you're thirsty at the end of the meeting, but a drink that will give you something that lasts forever. You know, this year in Ashwood Church, we're thinking about things that we want to give our lives to that will last forever. That's a pretty good drink. And this morning, I don't know about you, but I want to get everything that God has got for me. That sense that as we worship and praise in his presence, that actually, I don't know about you, but I sometimes can become a little bit complacent. Sometimes I can become comfortable. And yet this morning, everything that is within me says, God, I want everything that you've got for me. Is anyone here this morning who says, I want everything that you've got for me, God? I don't want to miss out on anything that you've got for me. That's a good place to be. You know, next week we are baptizing, I think it's, the number keeps going up, but at the moment the Blue Peter counter thing says 6 people are being baptized in Ashwood Church next week. Some of them are here this morning. If you're being baptized next week, why don't you just give us a little wave? These are some of the people who are excited this morning. It's going to be... And part of baptism is saying, God, I want everything that you've got for me. Part of it is about being obedient, but part of it is saying, God, I want everything that you've got for me. That's the way I want to be this morning. God, many of us have just said how we want everything that you have for us this morning. Those who are thirsty, those who are hungry. I pray that as we continue in your presence, that you would give to us real spiritual food, that you'd give us the water of your Holy Spirit into our lives, not just for our benefit, but for the benefit of those around us, the world that needs to know you. Oh God. Amen. So, how are we doing? Everybody okay? I must admit, you look like a pretty handsome congregation this morning, if you don't mind me saying so. It's a great place to stand. If anyone else want to come and have a look? It's good. I don't know about you, but I think we're living in pretty exciting days. There's a lot of troubles, there's a lot of trials. But somehow, in the midst of the darkness, God's light shines somehow brighter, doesn't it? And we've already mentioned baptisms. Well, also next week, as Molly explained at the start, is on your notices, we'll welcome back the Hudsons. And, you know, the truth is that they are part of us in a different place in Albania. And there's something really that we want to make sure that we get it right as they return. It's true that they're going to come back to a very different culture. And we want to be sensitive to that. We don't want to smother them, but we do want to know that we love them. And it's true that some of you have never met them, but I want us to, when they come back, I want us to just get it just right in terms of welcoming them back, allowing them to be themselves, allowing them to enjoy being with us. And of course, things will be very different as they return, but I don't want to load a load of stuff on them, which means that we're going to expect it's going to be difficult, because actually, I do believe that God will provide for them as he provided for them in Albania, he's going to continue to provide for them now in many different ways. So those of you who've met them and know them, of course, you're looking forward to seeing them as well. But let's be church in a really sensitive way to them as they come back, shall we? Now, this morning, what I want to talk about, we've had some exciting stuff the last few weeks. Those of you here last week, Steve Wendells was speaking to us, which was absolutely fantastic. Fits really well with where we're at. I can't remember, was it the week before? We dedicated a whole group of amazing kids, really exciting. And then before that, Dom and Dan in previous weeks spoke to us about God's word and how foundational it is in our lives. And I just want to kind of draw those thoughts to a conclusion this week, kind of the end of a kind of a mini-series. And I want to ask this question: what does it mean to be a people of the Word of God? That's what I want to talk about this morning. And I want really to talk about this one phrase, which I think helps us explain what it is that we mean by this, to answer that question. So I would say, what does it mean, in answer to the question, what does it mean to be a people of the Word of God? I would say this: living a life of faith and obedience based on the Bible. And this morning I want to, my job, if I've given myself a task, is I want to encourage you this morning. There may be areas where I want to challenge all of us together. But if you're new to all of this, then one of the primary ways that God speaks to us, and I'm sure all of us would say we want to hear God speak to us, one of the primary ways is through the Bible. That's why we call it the Word of God. And whether you've been a Christian for a few weeks, some people in this room, that's the case. Whether you've been a Christian for years and years, this morning, I would just want to challenge us and speak to us about living a life of faith and obedience based on the Bible. How many people this morning want to grow in our revelation and understanding of God? Anybody? How many people want to know how the Bible affects our lives? How many people want to become stronger as we face the storms of life? How many people want to become stronger in who we are in Christ and in our identity in Him? How many people want to become stronger in overcoming sin and the devil in our lives? Well, this morning, I just want to declare that I believe that one of the big parts of that is living a life of faith and obedience based on the Bible. Jesus says this: you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. John chapter 8, verse 31. Those of us who've done the Freedom in Christ course, this is foundational. It's the central theme to everything that we talk about. But if you read the few words before those, Jesus said, if you continue in my word, that's where it comes from, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So we want to know the truth because the truth will set us free. How many people are on a journey of being set free by the truth of God's word in our lives? So two things within this phrase that I just want to think about just for a few minutes. The first is this: the importance of putting our trust in God's word. So, trust in the word. I think you'd agree that right now in our world and in our society, there's all kinds of people or systems that we can put our trust in. And some people describe God's word, I heard someone describe it as the infallible digital roadmap. The great thing about the Bible is that you can trust its accuracy no matter where you are or how lost you are. You can trust what it says in the Bible. And what I want to encourage us this morning to do is to reaffirm for some of us our view that we can trust exactly what the Bible says. So God, the Creator God, Sovereign God, has revealed himself in two primary ways. The first is he came in his Son Jesus, and Jesus was and still is what the Bible describes as the living word, so that we could see what God looked like. And how many people are grateful that God sent Jesus to be not just a great example, but to see, if you want to know what God looks like, what do you look at? Look at Jesus. But secondly, this same Creator God has also chosen to reveal himself through what we call the Scriptures or the Bible, the written word. And these two elements together, so Jesus is the living word, the Bible is the written word, and these two things together work in perfect harmony. It's true that actually Jesus put great faith and authority in the Scriptures, in the Word of God. So even though Jesus was the Son of God, he submitted to and quoted from what was then the Old Testament Scripture, because the New Testament, of course, hadn't been written. Very often in his life, he was conscious that he was fulfilling what it said in the Old Testament. So I would say if we want to follow Jesus and we want to follow his example, then we want to become people who live our lives based on the Word of God. So Jesus used the Old Testament, but of course the writers of the New Testament, listen to what Paul says, this is really foundational to our view of what the Bible says about Scripture. It's a famous passage thinking about what Scripture means, and it says this in 2 Timothy, all Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. So, all Scripture, basically all of the Bible, is God-breathed and useful for teaching. Notice that phrase, God-breathed. When we talk about the Bible, what are we talking about? Well, yes, it's a book, although you could argue it's more of a library. 66 different books, some written by the same authors, some by different authors, some written with different backgrounds, different cultures, different types of writing. And we need to understand that it is different types of writing. And sometimes we have to understand things in a different way of thinking in order to understand what God is trying to say. But though we might need help in understanding or even sometimes interpreting what it says in God's word, the reality is God's word is true. Because behind all the human authors, the Holy Spirit, this is what we believe, the Holy Spirit inspired each of those authors as they were writing and as they were speaking. So although it's the work of men, it's also 100% the work of God. God has, if you like, breathed out the Bible or these books, if you like. We can trust the Bible, it's true, it's authoritative, it's inspired by God, and it's totally dependable. And you and I can depend on the Bible as the accurate digital roadmap for our lives. It will point to the truth about God, but it will also point to the truth about Jesus, that he has plans for our lives. The Bible is the Word of God. And if you've been around a long time, you kind of know that. But what I want us to do this morning is reaffirm the reality of the truth that the Bible is not just a guidance or a map, but actually it's the Word of God. Some of you will know a guy called Billy Graham. How many people here have been around long enough? Okay, everybody, these are what I would call the old, mature people. I honour you. The truth is, when I was a little boy, I saw Billy Graham as well, so I am also in that same category. But Billy Graham, a tremendous man of God, I think he's in his mid-90s now, isn't he? Didn't he have his 95th birthday? And Billy Graham travelled all over the world, spoken to literally millions of people, and through him, many people have come to know Christ. Amazing man of God. If you rewind Billy Graham's story, something quite interesting. This issue of trusting in the authority of the Bible, of Scripture, is critical for us to get hold of. And Billy Graham had a defining moment in his life. Following his conversion and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, he came to a place of affirming the authority of the Bible in his life. But very early on, a number of his friends started to question and doubt whether the Bible was really true, whether it could all be believed, whether this stuff was really real. And this is his testimony. Listen to this. "That night, I walked out in the moonlight, my heart heavy and burdened. I dropped to my knees and opened my Bible on a tree stump. I knew that if this issue wasn't settled, I could not go on. Oh God, I prayed, there are many things in this book that I do not understand. But God, I'm going to accept this book as your word by faith. I'm going to allow my faith to go beyond my intellect and believe that this is your inspired word." He continues, "From that moment on, I have never doubted God's word. When I quote the Bible, I believe I am quoting the very words of God, and there is power in it." Billy Graham now, in preaching in the authority of Scripture, is literally seen, as I say, millions of people come to know Christ. Because, and this is what he puts it down to, very early in his life, he made a choice, he made a decision to put his faith and affirmation that the Bible is true. And I guess if you're here this morning and you've got questions, well, questions, no problem having questions, is there? But what I want to encourage all of us this morning is to put our trust fully in the Bible. Not just about, and this is, I think, is the difference, it's not just about making an intellectual choice, but actually there's something about putting our trust, putting our faith in what the Bible says. And if this morning you're interested in finding out a bit more, those of us who are on Alpha does a great session on the Bible. And there's people around who can answer some of the questions that we might have in terms of intellectually understanding the Bible. In this room this morning, there are some great minds who love to study God's Bible and actually to have those debates about how the Bible came to be and the authenticity of Scripture and how it's been passed on through generations. If you want to know a bit more, grab hold of someone and let's have those debates and those questions. But actually, what I want us to do this morning, and even as I was thinking about this, I found myself declaring and reaffirming that actually, this is the Word of God, completely true, completely dependable. And actually, it's not just one of the foundations, but it's foundational in my life, in our lives. So, why don't we today affirm our trust in the Bible? Thank you, God, that you reveal yourself to us in your written word. Amen. So important, and I hope I've explained that or just expressed that something, well, as clear as I can. But I believe that actually it's not just important if we're new Christians, but actually it's important that we reaffirm that we believe God's word and we put our trust in it. So that's the first thing, trust in the word. The second thing, though, is if we're going to live a life of faith and obedience based on the Bible, not only are we going to trust the word, but we need to live by the word. It's not enough to say, I trust the Bible, but we need to orientate our lives both around what we believe, but also how we are to act. Let's think for a moment at the example of Jesus. Jesus was a man who allowed God's word to shape his life. There's loads of examples, but there's one key one when Jesus is in the wilderness being tempted. Some of you will know the story, but he's led out into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit. And the devil comes to him and lies, brings a lie to him. How many people know that the devil hasn't changed? He still wants to lie and to trip us up, the same way that he did with Jesus. Now, the devil comes to Jesus and often, like he does with us, comes to us with a thought or with a suggestion. And notice what Jesus does. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus could have come as Satan comes to him. Jesus could have done he could have powered up, if you like, and said, "Back off, Satan, I'm God." But Jesus was the Son of God, but he was also a man. And if Jesus had done that, it wouldn't have been the example that we could follow. Because how many people know that when Satan comes to you and me, we can't really power up and say to Satan, I'm God, because that kind of doesn't work. But what Jesus did, being the best example for us to follow, he responded like this. It is written. So he referred back to the Old Testament and he declared what is true. I'm going to read that in a moment. But just think about this for a moment, because I want this to be really practical and apply it to our own lives. When Satan comes with a thought or with a suggestion, and how many people know that that happens quite regularly with fear, with temptation, all kinds of thoughts that come to trip us up. Well, I heard someone give some really, really good advice. Actually, you don't get rid of a negative thought by suppressing it, but actually what we do is replace it with a higher thought. And this is what Jesus did. Not just any old word or any old thought, but he took the highest thought possible, the very thoughts of God. And actually what he was doing in this passage was he was quoting from the Old Testament, from the book of Deuteronomy. And he says this: man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And that's because this temptation that comes to Jesus in the middle of a fast, and the devil says, "Turn these stones into bread." Well, why was that a temptation? Well, 40 days of fasting, I guess you'd be hungry. But this is what Jesus says: man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And it's pretty obvious, isn't it, that we need physical bread to live. But just as we need physical bread for physical health and well-being, and we need nutrients, we need to eat regularly, so in our spiritual lives, we need true spiritual food, which is the Word of God. How many people know that if you're on some kind of starvation diet, people would very quickly be aware of it? If you did one of those things, I think you'd look at me and you'd be very quickly aware of what I was doing, which wouldn't be particularly healthy. But it's the same thing, actually, that if we starve our spirit, then we will notice. So in the context of wanting to strengthen ourselves in God, then we must get hold of this, I believe. There's lots of different pictures of the Word of God, aren't there? And Dom talked about it being a love letter, and that's true. But I just want to think for a moment or two what it means to consider the Word of God as food, and just look at that analogy for a moment. So How many people eat every day? How many people eat more than once a day? How many people look forward to eating? I love food. I'm quite a big fan of food. Anybody else here this morning? I had a really good curry on Thursday night. It was lovely. So if we're going to learn to live on God's word, part of the way that we'll strengthen ourselves, let's get really practical for a moment. If we're going to strengthen ourselves in God's word, then how about this? In the same way that we feed physically and we want a balanced physical healthy diet, if we're going to feed on God's word, we want a balanced spiritual healthy diet as well. Kind of got me thinking that most of the things that we build into our physical lives kind of come naturally. You don't wake up most days, unless you're fasting, of course. Most days you don't wake up and think, oh, what am I going to do today? I'll probably ought to eat something. Most of us don't need telling to eat. But actually, if we're going to feed spiritually, we're going to become spiritually, have a spiritually healthy, balanced diet, then I would suggest that in the same way that we eat daily, that we also need to feed daily on the Word of God. I've been reading recently the book of Job, and some of you will have read the book of Job. To be honest, it's not necessarily my favourite book in the Bible, but the truth is it's God's word, so I know that I can get something out of it and God will speak to me. But those of you who read the story of Job, he finds himself in the midst of horrendous, difficult trial. And he asks himself this question: how do I survive? In Job 23, it says this: I have not departed from the commands of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than daily bread. In other words, in the current situation that I'm in, I'm feeding on God's word in my life, and it's literally more important to me than physical bread. Wow, that's pretty strong stuff, isn't it? That Job said in his life. And sometimes, there are times when it's really great to do studies in the Bible. We've done some of that together as church in terms of going deeper sessions. We've looked at some particular specific aspects. And that's great. We might look at a particular topic and just study and look throughout Scripture where it talks about faith or healing or a number of different things. That's great. But actually, I believe that if we want to get a spiritually balanced view of the whole of Scripture, don't forget, 2 Timothy says, all Scripture is God-breathed. So if we want to get all the nutrients, want to get all the balanced view, then I think it's really important that we systematically read through and get hold of everything that it says in the Bible. And if you haven't got a Bible and you're here this morning, then get one. Or if you haven't got one and you'd like one, then come and tell us and we'll get you one. And of course, there is some great stuff around that can help us find a good pattern for reading the Bible. How many people use some daily Bible reading notes? There's some really helpful things with some plans. And you can, of course, do that digitally these days. There's a great app. It's called YouVersion. You can download it on your phone, your tablet. And there's some really helpful plans in there. There's plans where you can actually read the whole Bible in the year. It talks about, you know, there's a structured way of doing it. And then often there's some help or there's some ways of understanding and interpreting a bit better. There's a great one at the moment on there of Nikki Gumbel. Some of you will know Nikki Gumbel's done a help alongside a reading plan for the year, which is fantastic. So if you're not doing that, then I encourage you to do it. But of course, it's not just the Bible's not just a manual for life. Dom talked about it being a love letter. It's from a Father who knows us, has plans for us, wants an intimate relationship with us by His Holy Spirit. He wants the best for you. And one of the primary ways that He speaks to us is through the Bible, day by day by day. And of course, I love the fact, the other thing the Bible is it's living and active. It's different from any other book. So actually, you can read something one day, and how many people know that you can read something 20 times, on the 21st time, God speaks to you, bang. Because why? Because it's not like any other book. In Hebrews, it says that the Word of God is living and active. You know, this thing that you've got in your hand, if you've got a Bible, is the living and active. It just hit me again this week as I was preparing for this morning, that actually what we've got in our hands is not just any old book. It is literally the Word of God that's living and active, makes a difference in our lives. And sometimes God will speak to us, and sometimes there'll be certain words or passages that will just highlight for us. Listen to this from Jeremiah. It says, He said, "When your words came, I ate them. They were my joy and my heart's delight." And my prayer today for me and for you is that we get a new supernatural hunger for God's word. Where we say, what does God want to say to me today? I want to get everything that I can out of it. Yeah. And there's some great practical stuff, of course. You probably don't need me to tell you that there are people around who... How many people know people who eat too quickly? Do you know anybody like that who eats too fast? Well, in the same way that you could apply that same kind of analogy, can't you? This Bible, reading a Bible in a year is great, but it also means that you could do speed eating. And how many people have read something and then realized 3 pages later that they haven't processed or taken in anything that you've just read? Well, I'm sure that's definitely true with reading the Bible. We have to ask God to speak to us, but make sure that we're in that right place. You know, one of the things the Bible talks about is meditating on the Word of God. And I used to think meditating was something you did if you got into a strange position and sat on your hands and did some funny stuff. But actually, meditating literally means to chew on. So it actually is this is exactly what we're talking about. So those times when we get hold of God's word, we meditate on it, we chew on it, we think about it a little bit, we don't speed eat, but we allow God to speak to us through his word. So let's make time to feed on God's word daily. And I heard someone else speaking about this, and they said the same way that you eat 3 times a day, how about carving out a bit of time to read the scriptures 3 times a day? How about read it first thing in the morning, then at lunchtime, go back and say, well, what were the things God was speaking to me earlier in the day, and then perhaps later on? Does this sound a bit ambitious? Are you saying to me, Matt, that's all right, but I'm busy? Well, I'm busy too. I'm speaking to myself here. But actually, if I ask the question, do I want to live a life of faith and obedience based on the Bible? If the answer is yes, then I've got to do something about it. So I want to encourage all of us to do that. Some people say, actually, if you're not used to doing this, the best thing to do is to start with 7 minutes a day. But then allow that time to grow a little bit, I'd suggest. Those people who've done this will testify to the fact that it makes a bigger difference in our lives than we could even imagine. So that's feeding daily. But also, what about feasting weekly? Acts chapter 2, 42. The church has just started. Says this: they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. How many people know that actually in the context of community, there's something really significant about learning together? Let me give you a confession. How many people like confessions? A few years ago, I came to what I would say is a very wrong conclusion. My story is that I've grown up in church all of my life. It's fair to say I've been to a few meetings in my lifetime. Not just tens or hundreds, it's probably thousands of meetings. And so I've heard quite a few preachers, I've heard quite a few messages. And I came to this conclusion a few years ago, I believe now completely incorrectly, that actually it kind of felt to me that I'd probably had enough preachers, enough sermons. If I didn't hear any others, I'd probably heard enough. If I could just apply all of those to my life, then it felt like, you know, I could have drawn the line, go away. It's almost like I could just go away and just think and do all the things that God said to me through those particular sermons, then I'd had enough, if you like. Has anyone ever felt a little bit like that? But then it wasn't because I had a wrong attitude. It wasn't that I was being negative. But actually, I was missing the point. The Word of God, and therefore the messages that we hear together in community as church, are living and active. So last week's message, 2 years ago's message, 40 years ago's message, is not going to have the same application for my life as God speaking to me in community today. And actually, in partnership with the Holy Spirit inside us, God will reveal to himself and the life application for where I am right here today. We call it revelation or light bulb moments, where something happens, God speaks, and somehow something that either we've heard before or we've not heard before makes more sense in our lives right for where we are today. God designed it actually this way, where we can come together in worship, word, and celebration. So it's partly our Sundays, it's partly when we get together in smaller groups. We're really excited to be relaunching our life groups in a few weeks' time. We'll talk about that again more on Sundays. But there's a context where we can devote ourselves not only to one another, but to the teaching of the Bible. And you know, on Sunday mornings, those of us who are involved in the preparation, we take it really seriously, the responsibility of bringing God's Word. And I don't know about anyone else who stands up here, but I know I've got a lot to learn. But based on the view that we put our 100% trust in Scripture and believe that it's God's Word to us, it's living and it's active and it makes a difference in our lives every single day, every single week. And so my prayer is that we, as a church, not only build our lives on that foundation, but actually that somehow that God would grow our hunger. To take the food analogy a bit further, how many people know that when you eat food, when you're really hungry, it tastes really good? There's something a bit different about when you've not had food. Perhaps you've not had food for a day, or perhaps you've been out doing some exercise. There's just something that's really, just somehow it tastes so much better because we're hungry. And one of my prayers as I prepared for this morning is that God puts something in us. You know, whether we've been Christians for a few weeks, or hundreds of years, or is that what it feels like? That actually God puts a deep hunger in our lives for his word. And sometimes, you know, I don't know about you, but for me, this is partly to do with, there's a discipline element, so there's part of it where I know that this is going to do me good. There's times when, does anybody go on the treadmill? Does anyone go on treadmills? I don't go on a treadmill, but because I just can't think of anything more tedious. But there's people I know who go on a treadmill because they know it's going to do them good. And there's sometimes where There's a part of who we are as Christians where we know that it's going to do us good to read the Bible. And there's some choices that I make in my life that I do because I know that they're going to do me good. But then the flip side to that is praying that actually, as well as that, that God will give me a great hunger for him and his word. And I guess that's why I wanted to read this morning out of Isaiah 55, because those of us who are hungry and those of us who are thirsty put ourselves in a great place to hear what God has for us. So, this is my prayer out of Colossians 3:16. This is for you and for me. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. In other words, we build one another up. I think that's not the bit out of 3:16, is it? That's me adding a bit on the end. That's not what it says in the Bible. Let's be clear. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another. How many people want the word of Christ to not just hang around, but to dwell in us richly? I love that image, don't you? Okay. So, this morning, I hope you don't mind me being a little bit practical, but I just believe that actually sometimes it's really important that we declare for whoever we are, wherever we come from, and just remind ourselves, reaffirm what we believe in as followers of Jesus. And I don't know about you this morning, could you say this with me, that we agree together that we want to live a life of faith and obedience based on God's word for us? And I wonder as we close our time together, whether this morning you want to just declare something about reaffirming. Maybe you're a new Christian and you're saying, well, this is all brand new, but it sounds like good news. I want to get stuck in and get involved. Maybe you're saying this morning, like me, as even as I'm preparing, just saying, you know what, perhaps I don't have the high view of Scripture that I really should have. Perhaps things have slipped a little bit and I haven't noticed, but somehow there's some doubt that's crept in. Somehow there's times where I'm thinking, well, actually, yeah, I believe that bit, but this bit I struggle with. Perhaps this morning some of us are saying, actually, it's true. I haven't got all the intellectual discussion, debate sorted out in my head, but this morning I'm going to make a choice that says, I believe this is the word of God and it's true. Remember Billy Graham, something just changed in his life when he accepted in faith that the word of God was true in his life. I read that bit before about setting our eyes, 2 Corinthians 4, setting our eyes on the things that are higher, that are unseen. Well, there's a part of our Christian journey which is based on faith, isn't it? And I wonder whether this morning we want to settle a few things in our lives and in our hearts and declare again, or maybe for the first time, that we reaffirm that actually we believe that this is God's word, totally dependable, totally true, and that we'll put our trust in it and we'll choose to live a life of faith and obedience based on it. Okay, well, why don't we stand together as we finish? Okay, so you can respond to God this morning, and if there are things that you're declaring or things that you're aware of or things that you just want to settle or reaffirm, then just take a moment to do that. Then I'm going to pray. You know, we're believing this year that God is strengthening things within us. And I just, crazy enough to believe that God is going to give us a fresh hunger for his word. I know in this room there are some people who have a real passionate hunger for God's word. Well, the good news for you today is that there's more. There's a greater passion, there's a greater hunger. And because it's living and active, having the Holy Spirit living within us means that we are part of an amazing partnership. The Holy Spirit reveals things to us as we live this life of faith and obedience. So what are we believing for this morning? What am I believing for? Well, I'm believing that we're going to receive a download of wisdom and revelation. Anyone else want to believe for that this morning? I'm believing that together we're going to grow in our understanding of God. As we walk with one another, together as church, in our life groups, as we relaunch those, that actually one of the hallmarks will be that we together grow and understand more of the mind and the heart of God through his word. We're going to understand more, I believe, about who we are in Christ. Amen. That he'll reveal that to us. I believe that we're going to become stronger in facing the storms of life. Amen. I believe that we're going to be better equipped to deal with sin and Satan. Yeah. And walk in Christ's destiny for our lives. I believe we're going to grow stronger in God's word. And I wonder this morning if as we respond that actually some of us just need to just say, there's a bit of realignment that goes on here this morning. There's a bit of adjustment in my thinking, in my positioning. Some of us, I just wonder whether we've allowed our view of Scripture to slip from the highest view that we should have for it in our lives. And if that's you this morning, it doesn't need to be a big thing, but I just feel a bit of a nudge from the Holy Spirit just to invite you to repent. The Bible talks about repenting, turning away from our attitude, turning away and just declaring that we want to walk a different path. And so if that's you this morning, then let's just quickly do that as part of our response. Forgive us, Lord. If you want a greater hunger for God's word this morning, I just believe that God's going to do it. Just, why don't you join with me and just reach out to God if that is something that you're just saying this morning. God, I want a fresh hunger for your word. Fresh sense of passion and desire in my life. Well, Holy Spirit, this morning I just believe that this is something that you're doing within us as church, that you're strengthening something within us. For some of us, it's a new resolve, a new determination, new discipline in our lives to stand on your word, to believe your word. I just believe, Holy Spirit, that you're going to help us do that. I just pray for a fresh hunger, a fresh passion, a fresh desire for the word of God in our lives. the roadmap, spiritual roadmap, to live by your word with faith and obedience. And this morning, Lord, we declare that the Bible is your word, it's your word to us, totally dependable. We can put our trust in it. We can trust it, even the bits we don't understand or we need help understanding. We believe that the whole thing, the whole of your word is God breathed, that you breathed it, God. Please give us spirit of wisdom and revelation as we continue to be the people of the word of God in our lives, that we will know together the truth, and the truth will set us free. Amen. Amen.